setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
All right, I'm coming to you live from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville, and you are joining a conversation. A conversation about who you are, what you were created to do, where you want to do it, and how to get there. That's a big-time conversation because it's about you and your purpose. And here's the fun thing. Turns out your purpose isn't about you, it's about others. We believe passionately that every man and woman on this planet was created to fill a unique role in their work. That means you are needed. That means you're tremendously valuable. But here's the responsibility part. This show isn't about making you feel good. This show is about helping you do good. And that's the responsibility piece. You are created to fill a unique role. You are needed. Here's the big part. You must do it. This is what nobody talks about in our culture, and I'm happy to be the guy banging the drum. You don't have the option to not be who you were created to be. Here's why. You can check out and not do it, but there's somebody in this world, several somebodies. Could be thousands of somebodies, could be millions of somebodies, could be seven. But there's a somebody that if you don't show up and be the person that you were created to be, they don't receive the gift you had to give them. Now, I'm not trying to bring you down. I'm trying to lift you. But that's why I do this show. We don't need another political talk show. Politicians aren't going to do diddly squat for you. It's not a political statement. That's what we call truth. Your purpose has nothing to do with Washington, D.C., or for those of you that listen from all around the globe, has nothing to do with your leader in your country. Your purpose has to do with the fact that you are a creation, created to contribute. You know it, and I know it. That's why we all, at some point in our lives, lie awake at night and wonder, why am I here? What should I do with my life? It matters. So let's get about the business of helping you get clear, get qualified, get connected, get started, get promoted, get the dream job so that you can give yourself away. I am helping you chase significance. And here's the great news. When you experience significance in your work, you will experience great significance in your life. And watch this, success and satisfaction come with that. Significance is the engine of the train. Success and satisfaction come with that. Woo! I'm fired up today, Joe. Don't get me started. Coming up about midway through the program, more data on what a year of working from home has done to our relationships at work and really has done to our relationships, period. But first to the phones we go, 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Toll free. San Antonio, Texas is where we go. Keith joins us. Keith, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, how you doing?
Keith, I'm living the dream. What's going on?
So I actually got to talk to you around this time last year.
Oh, great.
And we got a clarity for me to be a financial advisor and go into that world.
Okay.
But I'm kind of struggling because I'm feeling like passionate about law enforcement. And I feel like I'm kind of being called to do that. And it's kind of like I'm having a conflict between, you know, which road to take, law enforcement or going into the financial world.
Well, when you called me a year ago and we got clear about financial advising, was there any conversation at all about law enforcement, serving, protecting?
No, but I mean, I grew up around it. My father was a cop, and I have plenty of cop friends, and I have, like, tremendous respect for military and law enforcement.
All right.
So it's kind of, the thought's always, like, been through my mind, but I guess I've never actually,
All right, so here's the million-dollar question. Is this a real heart thing and something that you've always longed to do, and for whatever reason, you didn't share this with me when you called me a year ago, which is fine, but you didn't share it for a variety of reasons. I don't really care. Or is this an issue of you tried financial advising and it's not working, and so now you're questioning that? What's really driving this phone call today? Is it one of those two, or is it both?
It's not the second one. I've been coaching ever since I talked to you. I've been helping people with money, and I really enjoy it.
Well, here's the good news. Here's the good news. You can continue to be a financial coach and be a police officer or law enforcement officer. Financial coaching is a one-on-one entrepreneurial venture, and you can control how many hours, how many clients you see. True or false?
True.
Great. So I think it's both and. What's your heart telling you? Why'd you call me? Tell me why you called me.
I'm sorry?
Why'd you call me today? Is it to give you permission to be a police officer because it's always been on your heart? I mean, tell me, brother. I'm here, but I mean, you've been on this show before. You've listened to the show. Why'd you call me? What am I helping you with?
Just for the clarity.
I guess,
just to hear it from you.
Yeah, but I just told you you can do both. How'd that make your heart feel?
I can really do both.
Yeah, how did it make you feel?
It gives me the juice.
Yeah, you got the juice. That's all I care about. I mean, seriously, Keith, how many times have you heard me tell callers, trust your heart, listen to your heart, trust your heart, listen to your heart, not your head, trust your heart. How many times have you heard me say it?
Yes, too many times.
Okay, I'm good with that. Sound like one of my kids, but that's good. Look, if you've always wanted to be a police officer and you've always had this affinity for it because your dad was a cop and it's always been something that you look forward to and you go, hey, if I can protect and serve and my heart is full and you don't have to give up being a financial coach, you can do both and the heart's going ding, 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 ding. There you go. Joe, where's our sound effect? When I told him he could do both and, this is what his heart said. He doesn't have it. You got to be ready, Joe. You got to be ready on a moment's notice. So we've got these sound effects. We got our button, and we got our ding, ding, ding button, right? And when I said that to you, Keith, you heard the ding, 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 didn't you?
It makes me feel really good.
Good. All right, so no more talking. Let's go. So for the rest of you listening, we just got Keith clear. Keith just needed permission. He needed me to say, Ken, does this make sense? And it's always going to make sense. Always. It's always going to make sense. If your heart says, yes, yes, I've always wanted to do this. And so what do? When we feel the heart saying yes and we feel the head's kind of going, I don't know. Well, you can call me and I'll walk you through it. But let's get back to what I teach in stage one of my 7 stages to meaningful work. Stage one is get clear. What is get clear? We say, do I have the talent to be a police officer, law enforcement officer? Do I have it? Do I have the hard skills, soft skills? If it's yes, check. Do I love this work? When I think about protecting and serving my community, do I have high emotion and high devotion? High emotion means I get excited thinking about it. When I'm in the middle of it, I don't want to stop. And finally, does this work, being a law enforcement officer, does it produce a result in the world that makes my heart swell? If it's check, 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 then tell fear and doubt to shut up and get about the business of being you. Don't move. More Ken Coleman Show coming right up. Listen, folks, we talk a lot on the show about making your next career move and taking the next step toward meaningful work. But I know it can be pretty hard to think about taking a step forward when you're stressed out about money in the here and now. Ramsey Plus will show you how to budget every single dollar of your income so you can use it to its full potential, plus so much more. And here's the best part. Right now, you can try Ramsey Plus for 30 days completely free. If you're in and you want to start Ramsey Plus for free, text Ken Plus to 33789. Coming up a little bit later in the program, what a year of working from home has done to our relationships. Get all these people clamoring to work from home more. And I think it's a little bit of I want my cake and eat it too mentality here, because you're going to see here it's not good. We are relational people, we human beings, even you extreme introverts. Even Madison, the producer, who she doesn't like to be around people, she says, but she does. And she's just her group. Like, she's very selective. You extreme introverts still need relationship, is my point. You just don't need as much as people like me. That would be the issue. I'm the extreme extrovert. So that's coming up. Big announcement. We've launched a 2.0 of Get Hired, an event we did last June to help anybody who's looking to get a different job, better job, get started, get out of part-time work. It's an incredible live stream event, and we have a live audience. So if you're in the Nashville area or you want to travel to Nashville, you can. You come watch the show that day. I'll come out and say hi, take a picture, autograph a book, give you a high five. You can watch the Ramsey Show that day live. We have free food and beverage in the lobby. It's just fantastic. Coffee, your lemonade, your baked goods will slap the calories all over you. And then you could stay that night, and we're going to be live from our lobby area, or actually our cafeteria and meeting space area, April the 27th, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. April the 27th, 8 Eastern, 7 Central. Get Hired. Tickets start at just $20. And if you want to come join us live, get those tickets as well. DaveRamsey.com/events. DaveRamsey.com/events. It's going to be a great event. All right, back to the phones we go. 844-747-2577. Shay is joining us in Charleston, South Carolina. Shay, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Great to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, Shay. What's up?
So I'm lost. I feel like I've been frantically panicking over trying to find the right move in my life and career at this point. Mm-hmm. I'm 45. I've been a chef most of my life. I know that my passion is food. It's definitely food. But it's not, you know, being in a restaurant industry is just hard on your body. It's hard on your relationships. It's hard on your life. I've got two little girls that I want to spend more time with, and I've transferred it in a couple different areas, still related to food, but you know, it's not the same enjoyment that I used to have.
Tell me what that's been. Tell me what that's been, because this is interesting to me, because your passion is for food, and the issue is it sounds largely like the schedule and maybe the culture has stolen some of the joy from the actual cooking and preparing food, creating with food. Is that true?
Absolutely. The creative side of it was my favorite part of it.
All right. So what did you transition to that in food, but you go, that's not it?
I did assisting living for a regional dietary, you know, program. Lots of travel. I was away from my family more than I thought. And then just, you know, the level of the food is obviously different. And there wasn't much creativity to that part of it.
Because you're creating food for, like a food menu for assisted living centers.
Yeah.
Let me tell you why that sucked the soul right out of you. It was less about being away from you. And there's no question being away from your wife and kids. That's a big heart thing. We got to listen to that. But mm-hmm. The other reason that sucked the soul out of you is because there's no creativity there.
Yeah.
You want to create around food. So let's just have some fun here. Let's go back to the days when you were a chef, when you really loved it. Can you remember that?
Absolutely.
What changed? When did it go from I loved being a chef to I can't do this anymore and I'm going to try some other things? That's where we've got to focus. What changed?
I think staffing in the industry has been incredibly hard the past 10 years, and it just keeps getting worse. Less and less people want to get into the industry that have the same passion that, you know, used to come along with it. And the hours, I mean, going from, you know, 50 to 80 to 90 hours some weeks.
Were the hours, you know, I get that. And I am not, I'm with you 100%. Can't do that. You're not meant to work that much. Was it 50 to 90 hours or 80 hours when you first started, or did that just change over time?
I think I did it to myself when I was younger because I loved it. I loved being at work. I got to wake up every day and be grateful that I got to go to work.
Okay, so it was really, that's something that's always been the case, except now I got a wife and kids, and it's like, my heart's longing to be somewhere else too.
Yeah, and it's hard to pull back from that once, you know, once a small business, a small restaurant is dependent on you to kind of carry the weight on the kitchen side. That's a big big structure as far as their profitability.
Okay, so I hope you see what I'm doing. Do you see where I'm going?
I mean, I know what I'm feeling.
What are you feeling? Because I want to know, do you see what I'm doing? I'm breaking this thing down. And let me tell you let me tell you where I'm at, and you tell me if I need to go a different direction for you, because I'm here to serve you. But I believe you can be an NFL coach. I believe you can be a college basketball coach and still see your family. I don't buy it. But the industry standard is that these guys never go home.
Yeah.
But I think that's a bunch of garbage. And I'll tell you, Dabo Swinney's done it during certain seasons where they send their staff out. If you don't get out of the office, I'm going to fire you. If you don't go to your kid's baseball game, I'm going to fire you. I'm saying we do have more control than we think. That's what I'm trying to show you is that you're supposed to, sounds to me like you're supposed to be a chef, you're supposed to cook. But what you've got to do is just figure out what the right environment is, the right place is to where you don't have the 50 to 80 hours a week and you can be around your wife and kids and you can create food. And then when you leave creating with food and making people's bellies and palates happy, you're happy and your wife and kids are happy. Because I don't think if I presented that to you today, I don't think you'd be on the phone with me. Is that true or false?
True. Yeah. I mean, I think my gut's telling me that I would love, and I do love the menu development side of it, the creative, but I just don't, my fear is that I don't know how to transition into that successfully. And, you know, if that would ever be profitable.
Well, so guess what? The reason there's fear is because you don't know the answer to that. So you know what you do? You go get the answer. And you've been in the business so long. It's not going to be hard for you to do some research, make some phone calls, talk to some key people and go, hey, what if I was this guy? What if I was and again, I'm getting over my skis here, you know, so I don't know what the difference between from a day to day, the executive chef versus the guy that's doing a lot of the cooking or menu creation for businesses that are doing catering. I don't know. But I think you could figure it out pretty quickly to go, what's that look like? Does that position exist? That's all you got to figure out. And by the way, let's say that you do some homework, Shay, and you find that, well, this position isn't like a standard thing in the industry, but it exists somewhere out there. There's a couple outliers, right? A couple of unicorns. I think you're good. I got a hunch you're really good. And I got a hunch you got some great relationships from your time. And I think you ought to at least explore being a unicorn and creating your own kind of thing. I think you've got to potentially consider moving into a day job, which you don't love. But if you're home, you're not traveling, then your heart's full and your mind's going to be okay because you go, remember what Ken said, this is a day job, only temporary until I land this unicorn role. But I think you do whatever it takes to get your heart full, not be traveling, not away from the wife and kids, take care of the bills and the business. But you're just like I was in the early days of doing radio. I was doing it on Saturdays, and I was running a business, and I was doing all this until the time came that I could step into it. I think that's the path for you. Now, I can't tell you step one, step two, step three, step four, step five, but I can tell you that you're very clear. If you look at stage one of my seven stages, there's no question in my mind you're clear. You said at the start of the phone call you were lost. You're not lost. You're scared. You're scared right now because you don't have any answers on how to get where you want to go. But I think you know what you want to do. You want to be creative with food, creating menus, creating type of things. Where can you do that? I think you need to figure out all the places that could be done. Then you start going, oh, well, those are the mountains. There's several mountains I'd like to climb. What's the best way to climb those? And keep yourself afloat until you figure it out. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. It is the show for the people of the world who want to make a difference. There you go. How about that? I mean, can you get any broader than that, Joe? I mean, come one, come all. You want to make a difference in your life? This is the show for you. That's what we do. It sounds broad. It is, because that's the starting point. So we're so grateful to you. All right, I've got to cover this, because this is an issue that's not going away. It affects a lot of you. So let's just look at the reality. What does the data say that a year of working from home has done to our relationships and our performance? This is global. This isn't just an American phenomenon. The data is, but this is a global deal. Guidant Financial put out an article on a study here that was done, and this is really important. So here's where we sit. The shift to remote work has had a negative change to workplace relationships and results. Employees are reporting more meetings than ever. Well, sure, because it's like email. Hey, I'm going to email you a link. We're going to Zoom it in 15 minutes. Like, meetings have become more prevalent than they ever were, and I always thought there were too many meetings. Jeez. My colleague and friend in this space of personal growth and development, leadership, Pat Lencioni, he's been a guest on the show. Pat's a good friend. Pat wrote a book, a parable chock full of goodness called Death by Meeting. Yeesh. Well, Zoom has made it easier than ever to have a meeting. And while it's a great technology, it can be abused. I think it is. The data bears this out. Here's why. While employees report more meetings than ever, they also report more isolation and less connection. That's the human contact. Let me tell you something. Joe, as handsome as you are, if I had to look at you through a screen every day versus see your handsomeness in person, it wouldn't be the same.
I would agree.
I mean, there's a difference between talking to you on FaceTime, right? If I was with my kid, if I'm always talking to my wife and kids on FaceTime and I didn't get to be in the room with them. I mean, folks, it's just a huge difference. The connection it's big time muted. All right. One of the biggest and most worrisome changes, though, from the study was the significant impact that a year of full-time remote work had on organizational connections, which is the fundamental basis of social capital. I agree. People report feeling disconnected and that their networks shrunk. Of course, you're not bouncing into anybody. Everything's email. Hey, man, here's a link. We're going to Zoom at 2:00. Ay, ay, ay. Strong workplace relationships matter for many reasons. And the Work Tree Index, which did this study, identifies several things from the study. The survey showed that strong workplace networks impact two things that are very critical to the bottom line: productivity and innovation. Let me say that again. Remote work negatively impacted productivity and innovation. Now, some of you are going, not for me. Okay, great. Thank you. You're the star student. But the data says that remote work negatively affected productivity and innovation. On the productivity problem, people said they feel more productive, report stronger workplace relationships. On the contrary, those who said their interactions with colleagues have decreased this year were less likely to be thriving at things that lead to innovation, like thinking strategically, collaborating, brainstorming with others, proposing innovative ideas. Again, let me tell you the difference. If I see three colleagues in the office that I want to bounce something off of, Joe, you know me, I'm like pants on fire. Hey, let me bounce something off of you real quick. I do this all the time. I don't have a schedule a meeting to go to somebody's desk and go, hey, I got to bounce something off of you. All right. I'm looking out the window here and I see one of our email wizards. I go with this guy. I got an idea. Hey, what do you think? I'm going to come up to his desk. I'm going to go, look, I got a crazy idea. I'm going to bounce this off of you. I don't have to schedule a meeting to do that. I'm going to interrupt him at his desk. It's fantastic. He doesn't care. Why? Because it's called human interaction. You try to do that over Zoom? Forget it. Hey, man, I'm going to send you an email with a link. Let's Zoom at 2:00. Let's brainstorm. I don't know why I'm talking like that, but you get my point. The same juice that we get from just our relational needs we get for innovative needs. Like, I don't see their face as well. I don't read the body language of the rest of the room. If I got five people on a Zoom screen, Joe, how in the world am I supposed to read the room? Well, I'm looking at this Chachi here, and then the rest of them are there. It's like the Brady Bunch opener.
Very difficult.
Yeah. It just occurs to me how many people listening right now may have no idea what I'm referring to when I say the Brady Bunch opener, where you had all the members of the family in this little box. I've seen Zoom meetings. I've walked by our offices in the early days when we had some people working from home, and I'd see these things, and I go, honestly, I mean, put my head in an oven. Like, the idea of me having a meeting with 5 to 6 different windows, forget it. I want to read the room. I want to read the body language. So, folks, the survey proves it. Productivity and innovation has suffered mightily. Now, I'm not saying that anybody who has a remote work company is wrong and that it can't work. I'm not saying that. I'm saying read the tea leaves. You're going to have, from the broadest description I can possibly give you, a hybrid model. You're going to have some level of physical interaction. You just can't go all remote and think that you're going to run like you used to. It's just never going to happen. That's why I'm so anti-AI and removing the human element. I sound like an old fuddy-duddy on this stuff, but there's going to come a backlash at some point where people are going to go, I want to talk to a freaking human. Like, I don't want to go to a fast food restaurant and hit a touch screen. I know I can. I don't want to. Like, my favorite fast food burger is a Five Guys burger. I'm just going to tell you. Followed closely by In-N-Out. And then I'm going to go number three. I'm going to go Whataburger. Also, we got feedback in the control room. So Madison's like all excited about Whataburger. Is Whataburger number one for you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Give me your top three.
Whataburger's great. I'm not going to lie. I do like Wendy's.
You like a Wendy's burger?
Wendy's is decent.
No. I got to tell you. I don't know. I can't get excited about a Wendy's burger. I just can't.
Something about the square burger. It's kind of nice.
Okay. Joe, if you're a fast food connoisseur, I'm dying to hear your top three burgers. Then I'll finish the analogy.
Burger King, the Whopper is good.
Yeah.
Five Guys is excellent. And Wendy's. Wendy's.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Amanda, what's your top three? We can't stop with you.
In-N-Out Burger forever.
Okay, number one. All right, always. So anyway, here's my point. I love a Five Guys burger. I love In-N-Out's a close second. Here's my point. I don't want to go into one of those places and not see anybody. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go, and then, you know, somebody goes, order number 51. It's like a robot voice, and I go pick up my burger. You know what I want? I want to talk to somebody. I want to talk to somebody. I want somebody to talk to me and say, hey, what do you want on that burger, man? And I tell them. And I want to hear the guy, like I was on spring break last week, you know? I want the guy to give me some style when he says order number 51. I want to hear an accent. I want to hear something. I want to walk up. I want him to push that brown bag at me. There you go, sir. And I want to go, thank you, man. I want to see somebody at Chick-fil-A. Which, by the way, I'm so sick of all these chicken sandwich articles. I mean, these advertisers where they're trying to say there's a real chicken sandwich war. Let me just set Popeyes and Zaxby's free. Anything better than a Chick-fil-A sandwich, I'm going on record. Now I'm getting controversial. What am I doing? I'm choosing names, Joe. Chick-fil-A. You know what I want to say to those folks? Thank you. You know why? Because they say, my pleasure. Leaders, don't remove the human element from work. It'll crush you. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Rolling along on the railway to clarity and purpose. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I am your engineer. Need a good old train sound, Joe. I'm into these sounds now. I don't know what the deal is. I'm into the sound effects. Maybe I secretly want to be a DJ, Joe. I don't know. I grew up My grandfather was a big train guy. Loved trains, you know, the little model trains, you know. Fantastic stuff. 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Let's go to Jason in New Jersey. Jason, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, how are you doing today?
I'm living the dream, Jason. How can I help?
Great. I've been with my current employer right now at a supermarket for 15 years, and I want to switch over. My dream job is to coach people on their finances. I did recently finish up Ramsey certified coaching.
Great. Thank you.
So, yes, you're welcome. And because I deal with money and my head is always in finance, I'm thinking I want to go into banking. So I actually have an interview later on this week to get into the banking field. The issue is it's about a $10,000 a year pay cut. So I'm not sure if I should do that or not.
Is it the only way to get into banking?
Probably. Okay. It's a teller job.
Yeah. So here's the deal. My teaching on this is very simple. If it is the only way or the best way, and you can financially absorb the sacrifice, the hit, then it's a no-brainer. If you can't absorb it, you're a money guy, you're a Ramsey guy, you know how to save up for it, how to cash flow it. So, you know, it's a money issue. Because it sounds like to me it's a slam dunk as far as it's the industry you want to be in, it's the ladder you want to be on. And that's exactly what you got to do sometimes. You're going to have to take a step back in order to step forward eventually. So it's all about the financial preparation to absorb the $10,000 hit, because eventually you're going to move up.
Yeah. I'm already trying to figure out, I'm talking to somebody within the business who works for the company, and I'm asking how quick he moved up and how quick I could move up.
Good.
And I'm willing to learn anything.
Yeah. I love that spirit, and I believe you, and I would bet on you. So you bet on you. So you're doing the right thing. Get an idea how long you'd have to be in that $10,000 deficit range from what you make now. What do you need to sell? Could you change your lifestyle? You know how to do a budget. The other thing is you are a recently minted Ramsey certified coach. So how much extra money can you make if you get going on that? So, you know, so what would be $10,000 initially? Let's say, you know, you start making $1,000 a month as a coach. Well, now you just absorb the whole $10,000. In 1 year, you got $12,000 in financial coaching to make up for the $10,000 hit to get into banking. You understand how this works.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And I also DoorDash on the side too, so I could definitely pick up extra side work doing that.
Yep. This is a budget issue.
It's just
if you can make the budget work, do it.
My biggest fear is it's the only job I've ever had. So
wait a second.
I've never taken this
leap. Hold on. Okay. I love this fear. Let's smash fear right in the nose. Or let's see if fear's telling us the truth. So do you have the talent, the hard skills and soft skills to be a successful banker?
Yes.
Do you love the work that you are setting out to do? You think about it, you get the juice. When you do that type of work or think about doing that type of work, it gets you excited, you know, in the sense of any kind of that interaction with people, any type of banking work. Does it give you the juice when you think about it? And then finally, does it create a result that you could get very, very, very excited about, meaning that it's a result you want to put out into the world?
Yes to all of them.
Okay. Then there's nothing to be afraid of. If the answer would have been no to one of those, I'd say that's banking's not in your sweet spot, so you should be concerned because you're not gonna have the staying power. But because this is in your sweet spot, you're gonna have the staying power. You got the talent to do it. Great news. You're passionate about you love the work being a banker, and it creates results that make your heart swell at the end of the day. Good for you, man. Go do it. Don't even think twice about it. Fear's wrong. Your heart's right. Tell your fear to shut up and get after it. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, coming to you from our Nashville-based Ramsey Solutions studios. We are here to help you, and I got to say a big shout-out to all of you around the globe. We got a call from Australia and Canada already today. I'm seeing in the queue here another call in Toronto. The podcast of the radio show, of course, is what makes this world flat. You can listen anywhere around the globe. And I just want to say a big thank you to all the podcast listeners. Know that you can call. You got a 2-hour window every day, 12 to 2 Eastern Standard Time, 844-747-2577. Let's go to Denver, Colorado. Dennis joins us there. Dennis, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken.
How are you, Dennis?
Doing well. It's a treat to talk to you today.
Well, the honor's all mine. What's up?
So I'm looking to move out of Denver. And I had an opportunity to interview last week. And so my question to you is, what would be the best approach to my current employer for a short-term notice to interview out of state?
I'm not a real big, whoa, what do we got there? I'm not a big fan, but you navigate this with me. I'm not a fan of you asking your current employer for paid time off to go interview to leave them. I don't know if that's going to work out too well. Are you concerned about that yourself? Is that why you called me?
Well, yeah, because I'm generally a huge kind of a planner person, and I like to ask time off.
I don't think that's right. So here's my point. I appreciate your diligence here to be thorough and planned out. And I think you're a person of high integrity. So I don't want you to mistake what I'm about to say.
Okay.
But I don't think it's right for you to ask for paid time off or take paid time off unless it's your vacation. If you take vacation to go do this, which that would be like a form of paid time off, but to ask them to give you additional time off to go interview somewhere, I don't think that's right. I would never do that. I think I would take my own vacation time. So that's what I would do. That's on you. I don't think it's right for you. I tell people if you're even interviewing locally that you go interview on your lunch hour. If you are given a lunch hour and you got a 10 a.m. interview at another company or 2 p.m. interview, you don't eat lunch that day, or you eat it in the car on the way to the interview. You don't steal from your current employer. And I think that the interviewing on the clock is wrong. I don't like it. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it wouldn't actually be on the clock, and I wasn't asking for that.
Well, then my point is you don't need to ask. You don't need to ask or tell your current employer anything. If it's your vacation time, you use it however you want to. So you go ahead and submit it.
Gotcha.
Do you normally go in and tell them, hey, me and the kids and the wife are thinking about going to the beach this summer. What do you think? No,
well,
you don't.
No.
So don't overthink this, Dennis. I'm not trying to be cute. I'm just saying, take vacation time, and it's your time that the company gives you. And so your vacation time is your vacation time, and that's how I would do that. I would not go in and ask for additional paid time off. Whatever your company's PTO is, it's you've got an allotment, and that's the right way to do it. Don't go ask for additional paid time off. And I'm not saying you said that, but I'm just being super, super clear here to go interview at some other place. I don't like that. I don't think it's right. So there you go. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Brittany in Atlanta, Georgia. Brittany, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, how you doing today, Ken?
Brittany, I am living the dream. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine.
Well, what's going on? What can I do to help?
I was calling today because I kind of got like two questions in one.
Okay.
I'm currently at an car auction. I mean, I like the job. I'm just like over the environment now.
Tell me what's going on. What's going on with the environment?
It's more of a you only move up if you know somebody type thing, or if you came in up under somebody. I've applied for different positions, trying to move up. I've been here for like 5 years. I haven't really seen no progress here.
Gotcha.
I'm not seeing myself go nowhere.
Okay. All right. Keep going with your question. I got you. All right. Keep going.
So, tomorrow I have a job interview. And thanks today, Ramsey. I'm debt-free as of last paycheck.
Yay! So, way to go, yes. Brittany!
Yes, yes. So with this job, it is a little further than what I am, and it is taking a pay cut.
How much?
But like a $2 pay cut.
Okay, and you were getting ready to say, but...
Dang, I was lost track. But yeah, I was saying,
well, you were
it is a little farther.
Yeah.
The job is a little farther, I would say, but we get a pay raise every 6 months, so I don't feel like that gap would be too much longer.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to see, is it worth, leaving and just, like...
Well, I only have one question. I have one question on this scenario. I don't want you to just consider the every 6 month pay raise because your reasoning is correct. This is not going to be a big financial hit for you at all. Not a big gap, nor is it a big hit. So that to me is positive. The only thing is it placing you on the ladder? You know, I'm always talking about, are you moving up your mountain? Are you moving up your ladder? Choose whatever analogy you want there. And if this does that, meaning it's not just a financial raise ladder, but it's doing work that you enjoy, because the good news is you like the work at the auction company. It's just you feel like there's a lid there. And that's a very normal human response to go, man, I can't get up here. I can't move up. I'm going to move on. So if the answer is it's a good strategic move for you too, not just a financial move, then I say it's an absolute yes, do it.
Yeah, and that was going to kind of lead into my second question, because right now I'm in the automotive field, and I don't know if I'm just discouraged because of what I'm at in my current schooling, but I do love cars. So I was trying to figure out, do I want to, because I'm looking at the career, and I was looking at the career part as well. I do want to go to Porsche, but I have to go to a UTI school, and that's why I'm looking for the money part now, because I want to pay for a school and cash flow. I don't want to do a loan or nothing like that.
Perfect, Brittany. I love this move. So the answer is, yes, you take this job because it's going to allow you to make more money. So it is another day job, but I'm okay with that, because many times we're day jobbing it until we can dream job it. And in this case, it allows you to make more money, which will allow you to cash flow the schooling you need to be able to step into that job with Porsche. So yeah, I love it. Good for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, all right, not to cut you off. Now I have one more question.
Okay, I love this. I got about a minute and a half. We're killing it right now, Brittany. What do we got?
Okay, cool. All right. I don't know if I want to continue in my career field, or I've kind of been, well, ever since a kid, because I listen to your life, but ever since a kid, I kind of been thinking about architect too, but I think I'm more scared of going that way because I don't know which way to go, and I don't know where to start.
Okay.
So I don't know how
to do things between the two. Oh, now listen, this is a yes or no answer from you. If you knew you could be wildly successful in the automotive space that you've kind of envisioned, and you knew you could be wildly successful in the architecture space as you've kind of wondered about, but you could only choose one, which one would you choose?
Architect.
So here's what I want you to do.
I love the houses.
I love it. So I'm going to give you a copy of, if you don't have it, I'm going to give you a copy of my best-selling book, The Proximity Principle, because this is what you've got to do. You've got to get around people that are architects that are designing homes. You've got to get in places where that kind of work is happening so you can meet some of those people. And you got to spend time with them. Whether it's coffee, lunch, ask them if they'll let you. You're a successful woman. You're a sharp person. Can you hang out with them for a half a day and watch what they do? You need to verify that architecture is, in fact, that big heart-pounding thing you want to do. And if that's the case, great news. You're going to take this next job. You're going to make more money. You're going to keep day jobbing it, making more money so that you can cash flow your way through architecture school. So, same answer. Yes, take this new job if it's offered, because it's going to help you make more money, which is going to allow you to cash flow. This is perfect. But I want you to spend a little time on the architecture thing and really research it and verify that it is something you want to do. Appreciate the call, Brittany. All right. Before I let you go, remember, you matter and you do have what it takes. Thank you so much for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey folks, Ken Coleman here. You can listen to myself, Dave Ramsey, Rachel Cruz, or the rest of the Ramsey Network anywhere with the Ramsey Network app on your smartphone. Catch all of our full shows, browse by topic, or send clips to your friends. Head to the App Store and download the Ramsey Network app today.